knowledge from the Lord. And he didn't know the difference between the word of knowledge from the Lord and rebellion that is within him. So he mixed both of them and brought a message to me. Right away I was able to see it very clearly, because I know what he said pertaining to what I did was not right. I didn't do it. But somebody else whispered it. Mm-hmm. You see, and as the person whispered it, right away he connected it up with his message. And he mixed the two together, and you could see what the Lord was saying and what he, the mixture, but it's only I who could see it, because I knew that he was talking about me and I could see what God said. But then it's difficult for you to deal with it. For if you lift your finger to deal with it, the rebellion is going to say, yes, I told you, he's not taking anything from us. You see what? So you have to be in the position of a parent who can see a thing. And if somebody, I always say, never, never correct a person while the person is correcting you. No matter how, if you know the correction is not right and the person is correcting you, accept it. Don't at the same time tell him about his faults, though you have to probably tell him some other time. But never correct a person who is correcting you, because it cancels out the thing, and it throws back a feeling to the person that you take nothing from anybody. Mm-hmm. And you see, that's a thought that is going around, and the enemy tells people things like this. For instance, people will come and pry into our private lives to find a fault. Now, if I'm going to pry into your private life to find a fault, it's very simple to find a fault with your son, with your daughter, with your children. You see what I mean? And said, oh, how come he want us to live holy and his children over there are not living holy? You see what I mean? But when you have children, the one requirement that God gives you to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of God as best as you know how. You cannot do better. When you look back, you said, had I had the wisdom that I had now, I would have done a better job. But how you could get the wisdom when then is not now? You can't turn now backwards. But I can do something. I can give the wisdom to Gordon with his young ones. And I can give the wisdom to some other one with young ones. And they, if they're smart, they will realize that I had gone through that and I am trying to correct my mistakes by telling them.
But it's awfully hard for the younger ones to take it from older ones.
Well, if they're smart, you see, because there are some young people who are smart. There are young people who are smart. And if they think, well, why is he telling me this? You see, once you're not in rebellion, because if you're in rebellion, he wants to control me. He wants to control my life. He wants to tell me how to bring up my children. You know what? I'm not going to let him tell me how to bring up my children. You see what I mean? But the mistakes we made with our children, we correct them with the grandchildren. And we correct them with your children, if you will take it. And I've had many coming back to me and said, well, I wish I had taken what you said, but you know, I missed. And but that is in itself good. Once you can see, it's a blessing, it's growth, it's development. Because God has a development in the church, and development comes by the older people who have gone through things. That's why I said elders, gone through things, telling the younger people, so that the younger people will have a improvement. You see, they won't have to go through all that trouble and come to their senses when they get older, but they stand on top of there and go higher than the older people. See, so because many of things my kids can teach me, and as men, I sit down and listen to them. And they tell me certain things that I didn't know because they took some of the things that I gave them, and they start from there, and in other things they are backwards because they rebel against it. See, so we need to understand that the main nature of the Antichrist is rebellion, and that is in the church, and that's the part of it that bothers me. You got the lawlessness there, brother?
I got off the lawlessness, but when I really think about it, the word I really meant was destruction.
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 Oh, well, destruction is the perdition, yes. Now, it goes off back into the nature of the devil. Apollyon, way back down there.
There's some good scriptures about destruction.
Yes. See, give me some of them. You want to put on second, pause till we get in.
2 Thessalonians verse 9.
Okay. We'll keep it. We'll keep it since it starts with the
2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9.
1
Timothy
9.
1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 9.
6 9.
2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 16. Also Romans 9 verse 22.
Yes.
Matthew 7 verse 13. I believe that's all that I find.
Okay, well, let us go into scripture then. I just go into it. I got them all. We first start with Matthew 7, verse 13. Somebody read that for us.
Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those that enter by it.
Yeah.
The same word as perdition.
Yes, you see, somebody quote that scripture to say that it means that the majority of people are going to hell, and that the devil is going to get the majority of people. I don't read that verse that way. I read it that they are going through the wide gate. They are going in the path of destruction, but that God does save people even in the midst of the destruction. Mm-hmm. When their lives are shattered and destroyed, right. Sometimes God saves them at the very end, and it's the path of destruction, the way that Jesus was talking about. There's very few people that walk or live in the narrow way. See, a lot of Christians, but very few of them that live it. So you have Christians who don't live the Christian life.
But they're saved?
Yes, you're saved because you accept Jesus as your Savior, not because you live holy. Now that's a peculiar part about it. So therefore there are many saved people out there who don't live saved. That is the reason why we are different from the church out there, because we are striving for holiness, and the church out there is say, just striving for members and just to keep you coming to service every Sunday. So the next scripture here is John 17:12. John 17 verse 12. We are considering destruction. Somebody read as you get it, just read it.
While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled.
All right. Now, it says here, the son of perdition. And let us look into the word perdition in the you have I see. We look at it in the interlinear. see, 17:12, and it says here, I do 11:12. When I was with them, I kept them in the name of thee which thou hast given, in the name of thee which thou hast given to me, and I guarded, and not one of them perished except the Huios. See what he did? He said the Huios of perdition, Apollyaeus. You see, Apollyon is the devil, and Apollyaeus is the nature of the devil, which is destruction. So they said he was a son, and it says a full grown son, a matured son of destruction, son of the devil. So you remember that question we asked, whether he used the Huios or the other word, technon, which means a little son. He used Huios. So he was a full grown son of the devil. That means Satan was in him. If you look at John,
is this talking about Judas?
Judas. If you look at John 13, read up from the 14th verse. Let's see what it says.
If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash another's feet.
It is a little further on where Judas, the devil, entered into Judas. That's what made him.
27th verse, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
And after the son Satan entered into him.
Yes.
And said Jesus unto him, thou doest do quickly.
Yes, if you understand, then Jesus, not until he took the communion that the devil entered. You jump, go up a little bit more. Jesus. From 25.
He then, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly.
Okay. Now, it's not a demon that entered into him. We go to the Greek Testament. This is the reason why it is so important to learn just how to find things in your Greek. We go to the Greek New Hebrew English Greek New Testament, and what verse is that there? 27. And after the morsel, then entered into, eis, into that one, Satan. And it is S-A-T-A-N-A-S, Satanas. Mm-hmm. Now if you check the word Satanas or Satan, you will see that we just read a while ago, and we'll come back to it, the scripture which says that his name is called Apollyon or Satan, and he's out of the bottomless pit. Mm-hmm. You remember? Everybody remember that? We'll come back to it. We're going to read that. But I want you to take a note who entered into him. Now, when a demon enters into somebody, the scripture said, Damun, demon. You see, but when Satan himself with a capital S enters in, and that's the only case in the Bible where Satan himself entered into someone. And according to Revelation, he's coming back because he wants to occupy another man's body. And he's going to enter into a man and manifest as a great, mighty miracle worker.
Satan.
Yes. See, so we're going to come to that. So let's go on. We just read, what did we read? John. But let's take it going down. After John, the first then you come to is Romans 9:22. Romans 9 and the 22nd verse. Somebody read that for me as you find.
What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction?
Yeah, what was the discussion there?
The potter and the clay and
yeah.
One vessel unto honor, another unto dishonor.
Where, how did we get the perdition into that?
Destruction.
Oh. It's perdition.
Oh, yeah, okay. Fitted to destruction. Okay, so then I understand now. So the vessels of wrath are fitted for destruction. Just let's go on to the next scripture then. The next one from Romans would be 1 Timothy 6 and 9.
But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition.
Yeah, well, this is just explaining how men through love of riches can get into perdition, get into satanic nature. Let's go on then. The next one would be Philippians. Let's try that. 1:28.
And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God.
What were we talking about there?
And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them. In other words, your terror or your being afraid could lead you into it.
Well, it opens
the door.
Terror, fear opens the door to many things.
But now he was saying it is to them a token of perdition, but to you a token of salvation.
He's speaking, I think, of those who persecute you for your faith, of the gospel.
Yes.
Don't be afraid, because to them it's perdition, but to you
it's salvation. Amen.
Which is to them an evidence of perdition. Those who persecute the Christians, it's an evidence that they are on the road to perdition.
Well, to me, it's like if we affirm and without fear standing against them, to them it's fearful.
Yes, it's perdition. To you, it's salvation.
You said never correct someone that's correcting you, and in the worst possibility, be someone who's not in a very good condition.
Yes.
Help you can give him is to give him an evident token of where he's coming from. You know, if you battle him,
yes, you may push him over the.
Then he can say find fault.
Yeah.
To hide behind, not to see.
Perdition. Yeah. Destruction. Of destruction. Yes. And okay, I marked that one. Now we take the other one. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. Somebody hit that.
Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
All right. What it says, and is revealed the Anthropos man of lawlessness. See, they put sin I don't know why they put sin in the King James. It says lawlessness. The word is lawlessness. And these are good things to study. Mark around the word, look up in your Strong's and see for yourself what the word is saying. See, it's sin is, you know, it's all right. Sin covers lawlessness, but lawlessness is a specific sin that God calls an abomination, rebellion that started the destruction of the world. And God mentioned it in several places in Daniel, and Jesus Christ quoted it as the abomination of desolation. So it's a desolation, the same destruction. No, it's a very peculiar thing that we are faced with now. We don't know what to think, if to think spiritually or what way. But here you are, that the word for 1984 and this is the same word. This year is 5744 in the Hebrew, and in the Hebrew it is four letters, you know, Tau, Shin, and Dalit. I don't remember what. Oh, Tau, Shin, yes, seven is that, and Dalit, whatever it is. It is Tash Mad Tau Shin Mem Dalet Tash Mad. That's the word for destruction. And that's this year, 1984 is 5744 in the Hebrew. Isn't that funny? The word we're dealing with In the Greek, it is Apollyon. In the Hebrew, it is Tashmad. And it is the year 1984. In other words, if in Hebrew, if they were going to write this year, they would write Tashmad. And I understand the Jews are very, serious about it. Because this year ends September. The Jewish year ends September, and they expect some very terrible things to happen, those who believe a thing like this. But, yes?
Excuse me, 1544 is the Jewish...
5744. That's the Jewish year that we call 1984.
But that's the Jewish.
Yes.
Can you tell me how they're counting it?
Well, every letter is a... every letter in the Hebrew is a word. It's a number.
No, what I meant is, when have they started?
They start their year September. September to September.
From how far back?
I don't know. This is one thing we are looking up right now, to see where they started counting 5,744. You know? Our year is counting from Adam. If we say 6,000 years, we are counting from Adam. But God deliver us from having to count from Adam, in that he gave us Jesus. So we just count 2,000 from Jesus. You know? Because nobody has ever been able to get time right. And the Jews have not been able to get it right either. See? So we are really feeling that if this year doesn't turn out to be the awful year of destruction, then it is only because God is holding back. But this is what it is supposed to be, according to everything that we see in the natural. Of course, we are spiritual people.
They're probably looking, especially this year then, for the return of their Messiah, and their Messiah is not Jesus.
Well, their Messiah is Jesus, for they are expecting the Son of God. But they don't know that it is Jesus. And I was speaking with a rabbi and say, suppose Jesus returns. He said they would accept him if he brings peace, and they beat the plowshares, they beat the swords into plowshares. So I said, but suppose anybody else comes and beats the plows, the swords into plowshares. Yeah. He said we would accept them. So you see, they are wide open to accept the Antichrist as well as to accept Christ. It's ignorance. But God promised that he will reveal himself to them. And remember, it is in the midst of Jacob's trouble that they're going to get the revelation. In the midst of the destruction, when God intervene and save them, then they will say, well, this is our Messiah. So God knows the terms on which they can accept the Messiah. And as Paul tells us, that they were separated from the gospel for our sake, that we would come in. And so as soon as the fullness of the Gentiles is in, God's going to reveal himself to them. And everyone who loves God is going to turn to Jesus Christ. Well, let's take 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9. What does that say?
Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power?
Okay, that is God destruction.
This is when, if you go on that next verse, that when he shall come to be glorified in his saints.
Yes. So we know then that while the destruction is going on, it's the time that God is going to come in his saints. You know, it's so plain in all, so many scriptures that say that. And I don't know how the brethren don't believe it. Some of the brethren don't believe it. At midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom comes. Okay, we go on. And we take the next scripture, Hebrews 10:39. Somebody get that.
We are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul.
So we see that those who shrink back will fall into destruction or apollyon. That's 9:10:39. Mm-hmm. Isn't that same chapter which says that he'll come as a thief in the night? That verse above it. Okay, let's go on then. Let's take 2 Peter 2:1 first.
But there were false prophets also among the people, even when there shall be false teachers among you, who cruelly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction.
Yeah. You know, this comes right home. It says these will be in our midst, among us in the church. And we see the thing, you know, going on right around us right now. The new Bibles that they are bringing in, every one of them have a slant.
Mm-hmm.
One is preaching no virgin birth. That's like the good news. Mm-hmm. Call Mary a little girl, a maiden, you know. And one even went as far as said, this maiden had a baby. You know, it's throwing a slur upon or a doubt upon the birth of Jesus Christ and denying Jesus Christ has been God. Some of these, that what they are doing, the living word, the living Bible, is profane. A lot of profanity and absolutely tons of inaccuracies, because they said it was not a translation, it was a paraphrase. Now you cannot call a paraphrase a Bible, for a paraphrase means what I think the Bible means. See, it's like a commentary. So, but many people proclaim it as the Bible. And don't forget that in chapter 8 of Revelation, somewhere around the 10th verse, we were told that wormwood, a star named Wormwood, is going to fall from heaven and fall upon the pure water, and it will make the water bitter, and everyone who drink the water will die. And what is the water in scripture, in symbolism?
That's the word.
The water is the word. You say the washing of the water by the word.
Poison the word.
Poison the word.
Delude it.
And the flood of false Bibles that have come out, it is just marvelous. I mean, even the revised version.
Mm-hmm.
You see, they are watering down passages pertaining to the deity of Christ, and you have to be careful of every one of them. I noticed that the Amplified is watering down the resurrection. Oh yes, the bodily physical resurrection, they don't believe it. So every passage that pertains to the resurrection, they turn it a little bit, just a little, you see. So we talk about perdition, and many people come into the church and they are being motivated by Satan for no other reason but to destroy the word. If you go back to Timothy, you take back 1 Timothy chapter 3 and read that first few verses there. You get it? Is that say some shall depart from the faith?
Sorry, is it second?
Second.
Oh, it's second, three? I'm sorry. Let's get that.
This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and whore, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of them that are good, traitors, heavy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away.
Okay, we get to... Oh, yes, for?
For of this sort are they which creep into houses.
Creep into houses.
And lead captive silly women laden with sins. Led away with divers lusts.
All right. That and 1 Timothy 4.
Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Yes?
Go on. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth.
Praise God. Let me get you some. I'm going to show you the difference now of extra light from the Greek text. Now the Spirit in words says that in the latter times will depart from the faith some attending to spirits, misleading, and teachings of devils. See, it's teachings of devils. In other words, we have devils teaching in the church to hypocrisy of men who speak lies. So you see, it says that the devils will be the teachers, but the men will be the hypocrites. See, they speak lies, having their conscience seared hot iron. You know, their consciences will be singed so that they won't see that they are wrong. This is the difference with the Greek text there. All right, we then go to 2 Peter 3 and 7.
But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men, or destruction of ungodly men.
Mm-hmm. And destruction of the impious men. The word impious, ungodly impious, they put here, men. Take 2 Peter 3:16. Somebody get that one.
Paul, according to the wisdom given him, wrote to you, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and unstable distort, mm-hmm. as they do also the rest of the scriptures, to their own destruction.
Good. See, they, people who are twisting the scriptures, are twisting it to their own destruction. As we speak about the brother there that wrote the Living Bible, that he got dumb. He just lost his voice immediately after he wrote it.
Well, there's a curse then upon those who meddle with the pure word of God.
Definitely, that is in Revelation. It says that anyone who adds to take away from the word of God, it added to him the plagues, and that his prosperity will be taken away.
Well, then we can expect to hear and to see and to read about disastrous things coming on. I don't know how many people are involved in this Bible translation work over the past many years, but there must be thousands of them.
Oh,
we
yeah.
can expect to see terrible things happen to them then, right?
Definitely, because they are going down into perdition. If you, the next scripture we have here is Revelation 17 and 8.
And the beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. The beast that thou sawest was, yeah, and is not. Hmm. Well, anyway.
Yeah, well.
Go into perdition.
The Greek here said it is about to come up out of the abyss.
Yeah, I think that'd be.
And to destruction goes.
Yeah, because it says. The beast that thou sawest and is not.
So it has 7 heads and 10 horns. Mm-hmm. Well,
that word sawest, I don't know.
He saw, if you read it above, that he was seeing a vision, remember? Mm-hmm. And the angel said, why didst thou wonder? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast carrying her. And then he started with the beast, having the 7 heads and 10 horns. And said, the beast which thou sawest, was and is not. That is the kingdoms, the mighty kingdom, you see. And which was represented by the Roman Empire at that time, which was failing about this time too, goes into perdition.
To whose Satan. Names were not found written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and yet
she is.
Come. Mm-hmm. Yet shall come.
Mm-hmm. And they were worshipping that beast. Is that what it said?
The beast system?
Yes. But you see, the system and the devil is together. They are one. Because if you went on from chapter 13, it said that Satan give all his power to this government.
Mm-hmm.
You know? That this government, whatever it is, and it is a government of perdition, is going into destruction and into hell. The last one is Revelation 17 and 11.
And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition.
Yeah, well, these are, we are following the word destruction or perdition, and you know, you wonder why some of the translators use one term here and call it destruction in some place and perdition in another place, but I suppose it's the same word, meaning to say, you know, like the kingdoms that remember the image of Nebuchadnezzar, right? He showed you the head of gold, but one was after the other, and it, you know, it's one kingdom failed, the other one take over, one failed, the other one take over, until you come right down. So he said the eighth will be of the seventh, and he will go into perdition. There is some deeper understanding here, which we don't have right now, to go into that as to identify which one is the seventh and which, yes?
Does it have to do with the seven you mentioned here about the seven?
Seven heads.
And 10 horns.
And 10 horns. But it,
of
in
the 7 heads.
Yeah, in Daniel it says that one head is going, one horn is going to come up and pluck up 3. So that one horn will be the eighth.
That is, pluck up 3 out of...
If you pluck out 3 out of 10, you have 7.
Yeah.
And one coming make 8, you see.
He's the 8th.
He's the 8th.
And he's after
7th. He's after 7th. In other words, some connection between the 7th head and the 8th head. And the 7th is going to have, like say, a child or whatever. And that is going to pluck up 3 of the heads and come in as the 8th. And I don't know what that has to do with it, because when this pope was appointed, there were 3 men who died to make the way for him to be pope. See, there was the Pope Paul that died.
Mm-hmm.
Then the cardinal from China died in the conclave.
Mm-hmm.
And the cardinal from Africa died in the same conclave. So it wasn't one dead body that they had in the Vatican at that time. It was 3 dead bodies. And those, that's what came And I went to Daniel to look it up. And sure enough, that's what Daniel said. You want to look at it? Look at it. See, I don't believe in you know, guessing with things like this. You have to hear it definitely from the Spirit. We never heard any confirmation on it, so I left it where it was. But if it proves out that this is the Antichrist we are dealing with, then we will know for sure. Unfortunately, we have had no word from God to say that is the Antichrist. Now, where do we find the part about one head plucking up the other? Yes, in chapter 7, and somebody read the 7th and the 8th verses.
After this I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet. And it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. While I was contemplating the horns, behold, another horn, a little one, came up among them, and three of the first horns were pulled out by the roots before it. And behold, this horn possessed eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth uttering great boasts.
Good. Well, if you look further down now, Daniel was intrigued by this little horn. And so verse 19, somebody read that, 20, 21.
Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows. I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them.
No. Go ahead. He didn't prevail against them.
Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. That's a different story. If you stop or pause there, you're in trouble. Amen. So we continue to read about that beast, and he's explaining more from verse 23.
Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces.
Okay, you see how simple the Bible comes down to. It's explaining it. All these heads and all these horns, we don't have to go into our brains to find out what it's all about. He said it is the fourth kingdom, and this kingdom will take the whole earth. Now we have not seen that, a one world government yet, yeah. Apart from United Nations, yes?
In a way, at a certain stage where church and state came together.
Yes.
We're under Constantine. So then, in a way, you have the religious kingdom and you have the political kingdom. But it is kind of one and the same, and it is spreading, taking the earth.
Yes, for sure. Yes?
Well, another thing that's spreading is communism. How would that be?
Well, that is very, very interesting, because it's today that I was looking at the Communist Manifesto, and they are sworn to have the whole earth. And I was looking at the Catholic Manifesto, and they had decreed that God has given them the whole earth, and they are the head of all kings and all kingdoms and all churches. So somewhere along the line now both are going to clash. But what we are going to see is both coming together before the beast turn and tear the church to pieces. Yes, one's going to ride there. What they're doing right now is riding the governments. You'll notice that every government, the Catholic Church is getting on top of it, riding the government. Our laws, our everything, we are getting more and more and more Catholic. We put up the obelisk of Rome in Washington, and we call it the Washington Monument. Oh yes, the obelisk that is in Rome, they put up one in Washington and call it the Washington Monument. And you ask yourself, Chris, why they put up that monstrous straight thing up there? Nothing but the phallic worship that the Romans used to worship, which they put up in Rome. I think they took it from Greece and put it in Rome, and now we put up one here. The influence is that the country, the Romanism is ruling us, but they want a more direct rule, and in our time you're going to see more direct rule taken over by the communists. See?
So communism is only a part of the political...
It's only a part of the political beast.
It's divided into many.
So it's 7 heads and 10 horns. It's going to have 7 blocks of nations and 10 rulers. Yes.
Book of Revelations, if a person wanted to know what will ever put an end to religion.
Yeah.
It says that the harlot, the kings of the earth turned against
her. Turned against her, yes.
And so that's what's going on. It's not the saints, it's not the sons of God that are
going to stop religion, no.
The instrument of her destruction is that this world
political kingdom, system.
They're going to turn it. And I've become aware that there's a lot of movements or political and in our education system and that are very antagonistic against the idea of religion, especially
yes.
Catholicism. And now with the school situation, you see a lot of people that are expressing a hatred towards fundamental
yes.
fundamentalism and
Christianity.
There's an awful lot growing. There's a spirit working in the world that's very anti-religion, a godless type of thing that is, you know, if it had its way, it would abolish religion. It would
yeah.
abolish the Muslim religion and the Christian
yeah.
religion. And,
yeah, there's a difference between religion and Christianity, though, in what yeah. you're talking about.
Right, yes, I'm just talking about...
Is atheism a religion, isn't it? Or is it?
Well,
is atheism a religion or not?
Sure, they are worshipping the devil, but they don't know.
Hmm?
They are worshipping the devil, but they don't know. You see, it is a religion.
Yeah, I think it's classified as a religion. So then the spirit you're talking about is then against atheism too?
No, it is.
No, it is atheism.
No, that wouldn't be.
But that's what the book I had read is talks and labels it the New Age, isn't it?
Yes.
I guess I had not been aware of there even being that kind of a thing, and as I read it, I just am really interested
yeah.
about that, because when I look at Catholicism, I see it, I really don't see anything of any, it just doesn't have any power or significance compared to what I see now. I mean, it's like a dead church. It's like a dead, a lifeless thing. It can't fall from any place. It's already there. But I'm seeing that at the end of time that there will be a people who know the truth who will fall from the truth. And that is really powerful
yeah.
for darkness. To be on the earth, people who had have a knowledge of right and wrong and yet choose wrong. And I think that under Catholicism, you never did know what. You know, I never did have a revelation of life. And that there's a movement, a spirit moving, where there's a deliberate turning away from God, rejecting God, and a deliberate embracing of darkness. And I thought yes. that was powerful compared to Catholicism, where you're kind of born in that condition. You're kind of...
If you notice what's happening, is that Catholicism and everything seem to be taking on new life. See? They, for instance, swallowed up the charismatic move. And they're taking on new life, and now they are getting the other churches to become political. That is the horrible part of it. They get the churches to become political when we always learned that we should keep away from politics. We find now that the churches are becoming political, and not only becoming political, but with righteous indignation. They say, let's prepare a hit list of all the politicians that don't please us. And you know, for instance, Reagan is appealing to the churches, and watch it. They are going to make him win in the election.
Yeah, he knows that.
Finish reading that for me. Excuse me.
He knows that. Now, what you was talking about a minute ago is people that have seen the light, but deliberately or are deceived, they go off into darkness and perdition.
What about people who have been born again? And then they marry, you know, they do. And I think, for instance, a cousin of mine, and Joyce was in a Baptist church when I was still young. She was about 13, I think. And she was such a sweet little Christian girl, you know, she didn't know the Lord. And then her parents moved out to California, it was during the wartime. And then as she married a Catholic, she went into the Catholic Church because she married a Catholic unbeliever, of course. And somebody made the remark, well, she makes a better Catholic than her husband. I suppose it's because she knew, you know, what about her?
Well, you're asking, have they crossed the line of rejection, and have they lost out with God? And are they going to hell? That's what you're asking.
Well, it's the same difference. I have a brother that was born again, and his wife was a Mormon, and now he's going to the Mormon church. But Terry asked Brother DeSill about that once, and he says that doesn't cause him to lose his salvation.
It might not, but it can.
Unless he...
Because you can reject Hebrews 6. Says that you can reject the blood of Jesus Christ by which you were sanctified. It depends on how far you go.
If he goes to believing that fully in their religion, because
means you deny.
Then you deny.
Now you see here, this person you're talking about has progressed this far, but the churches are still on the move and moving, but they're moving toward the Antichrist. And if they stay in there too long, it could be too late, and they will find themselves submitting to the Antichrist. And that definitely will mean perdition for them. Perdition. So, once saved, always saved is not true. And
yet it's true.
Huh?
And yet it's true.
It's true, yes, but not as a doctrine, that you don't get it. I mean, there is that doctrine in the Baptist Church, which is which is bad, because sometimes they get a head knowledge and think they believe, and they, you know, and this is where I said it was sad, because we used to be in a Baptist church, and some of those people get a head knowledge, and they say, well, I believe, you know, and they don't, and then they think, well, I'm always saved, and so they just think they can go out and do anything they want to do. because I forget who it was. I think it was on one of the Cecil's tapes where he was talking about somebody said, well, I can be in fornication and when the Lord comes and I'd still be saved. Well, you know, that's just...
If it's when you're here for anyone, always say, what did you mean by that?
That once the Lord brings you into salvation and so on, if you continue to walk, then you're always saved. But if you turn aside, because the first step in salvation is forgiveness of sins, the Lord forgives. But you can go back because you have a free will. You can go right back into it and destroy your soul.
I guess the reason I spoke outside is because I can remember back, we were in a church where we were, you know, we'd been taught, once saved, always saved, like I said, eternal security. Then we were fellowshipping with a church that believed so strongly that you could lose your salvation, that what we saw was some of the young people
fear,
who were scared
to death.
Yeah, every time they did something wrong. And in fact, there was this one young boy, he just gave up. He said, I'll never make it, because he was so conscious of the way they taught. Every time he did something wrong, he was scared he was losing his salvation. So this is what I mean. There was the two doctrines, and this is the way the Lord just, you know, showed me that you can't live by doctrine, you know.
It is if you deny the Lord to the point where the Holy Ghost ceases to strike to bring you back.
This was a sad thing, because this one girl years ago, first opened up a home team for some time, and she was saved through listening to Billy Graham. And she had married this son of a minister. He was a minister of either Free Methodist or doesn't make any difference, I guess. But anyway, this boy just struggled so that he finally just gave up. You know, he said, well, I can never make it, and he just turned his back.
But that is the reason why we need to see to it that the people have a firm foundation in the Word of God, that the Word of God is in them in a firm way, that all these winds of doctrine that come blowing through might not sweep them away. You know, take for instance, you have here now, we're going back to what Gordon said, millions of people are listening every day to the 700 Club, PTL, Falwell, Oral Roberts, and many other smaller television programs. I would estimate that maybe 100 million people throughout the world, the majority of them in America, are listening to some one of these television programs that come from these big stations, beaming all over the earth, satellite. And the chief thing they are saying to the people is get saved. And some of them even go very tenderly on baptism of the Holy Ghost, but they are asking them to follow them. And I saw an appeal the last couple days on the television saying that you must all write in to your senators pertaining to the position about praying in schools. Now, praying in schools may be a good thing, but they're making a big deal out of it. Why? They want the people to be activated politically. Right? Then you heard of the story of the Pope pushing his finger in the pie and sending a letter to all Catholics in the United States asking them to agitate, to go out there and agitate concerning American built up in arms and putting missiles in Europe. See, they call that the peace movement. And I heard Billy Graham says he's 100% on the side of the peace movement. And they're telling America must, what they call it? The unilateral disarmament.
Disarm?
Freeze. Nuclear freeze.
Yeah.
And whatnot and whatnot. Now, they can't tell Russia that.
No.
They can't agitate in Russia. So whoever is agitating in America for a nuclear freeze must be agitating from the Russian side. You see? And whatever it is, we are Christians, we should be involved with God's business and with souls. We're not involved with trying to change governments and trying to change people in the Senate in order to make America a better place, because we will not be able to change one iota of history by our voting, but by our prayers we can. So,
and by your prayers you're going up into a higher level and dealing with the thing.
Dealing with the thing from a higher level.
And politicians, unsaved politicians simply know nothing about that realm.
No.
They can talk a lot, but all of the talk in the world will not equal the result of prayer.
You know, in the scriptures it shows that on the sixth day, God created what? God created the beast. Mm-hmm. That is what the people don't understand. The beast was made before the man. So when we see all this activity, what we call beast nature, the word beast, you know, I don't know if you remember my describing what it means. You have God, man's spirit, man's soul, man's body. That's God's order. And that is a man then, who is a man, his spirit controls his soul. But a man who is a beast, he's not controlled by his spirit. He's controlled by another spirit. And that's how you get the beast. So when God begin to talk about the beast nature that's coming forth, it shows that man has discarded the nature that God put in him, to love and to be reasonable, and which nature leads him back to God. For the spirit of man leads you right back to God. But the beast nature leads off man into being governed by another spirit, which is a demon, a devil. So the beast was created first. And we are just coming alive. I mean, this is the thing that I am seeing as I travel around the country, that the people are just coming alive. People are beginning to call for patterns and want patterns now that formerly they would never care about it, you know. You know, people like Dave Wilkerson and is saying, well, we have read the pattern and this thing is really blessing us. And things like that. They wouldn't care about a book like that before. But all of a sudden an interest is being registered in the pattern, and there are people who are beginning to listen who never would listen to before. So we know that the man is being birthed. Oh yes, God is stirring the church, but she's like a person just barely waking up out of your sleep, and you see men like trees. See, the vision isn't clear. Well, we praise God for it. This is what we're seeing. See?
And believing Him for improved eyesight.
Yes. Yeah. On the other hand, of course, you'll see the thing going the other way outside there, and you're wondering, when are these going to wake? You know, because they're running after politics. And it's possible we might see some of the men who are trustworthy in the gospel gone over to something else before it's all over, before December or November comes around. See, John Jackson said in his tape in 1984 that there's going to be, is the last president we're going to have. And of course, I spoke to him a couple of weeks ago and asked him, what does he think about the prophecies he gave, you know, if it doesn't look as bad in 84 as he gave it in the prophecy, that it would be. And he said he's sure that God, that things are going to happen, and but he's not sure now that they are going to happen in 1984, because God, a lot of people have been praying and God has been holding back. You know, I see a holding back of God, and I just leave it to God. Well, we will see if that prophecy is true or not.
Is he still in the Assembly of God?
No, he's now out. He's in another group.
You know, I remember when, you know, you first sent it to us, and you said here he was saying things like, that he didn't understand because he believed in the rapture.
Yes.
I think he still believes in the rapture, do you know?
Well, we tackled him on the point, and he, you remember exactly what he said, Mavis?
But I think on the tape when he asked the Lord if it is the rapture, he said, I didn't.
Yes.
I remember what he said about that, but the people with whom he went after the Assembly of God, I don't think they believe in the rapture. And the people with whom he is now, it doesn't seem as if they...
No, it's more of an entire church group.
Where was it that you seen and talked with him?
In Dallas.
In Dallas?
We were in Dallas, yes.
I continue to have some real difficulty with prophets that announce
destruction
and put a date on it and put it in the first person, Jesus Christ speaking, a direct reference to Christ, our Christ, as being the author of this statement.
Mm-hmm.
And then putting a date on it. I'm just sharing the discomfort I have with that.
Yeah.
Well, that's been going on for ages.
Well, no, I need to finish what I'm saying. And then the things do not come to pass, or they come partially to pass. And I find fault there. I find a grieving in my spirit because of the nature or the way that the person presents himself as being a representative of Jesus Christ. And I insist at that point that he be challenged or tested, I mean, the same way I do any word I receive from Christ.
Yeah.
Because it's not given in this fashion, I think, or I sense.
No.
Maybe the Lord's this way or that way. It's,
no.
It's given in the statement.
Thus saith the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord. And I guess the worst touch I've seen of that is a ministry somewhere in the Southwest that somehow I got... it came into my hands to read the prophecies, and it'd be about 2 years old now, and they predicted with dates terrible events, like, I'll make it up, I don't really, but Detroit will be swallowed up by an earthquake or something.
Yeah.
On February 22nd. And there was a very harsh God speaking, and one that, you better shape up or you're going to get it. And they didn't come to pass. And the person came out with a new newsletter saying, well, the Lord decided to give us a break. These things didn't come to pass, and because of you guys, you know, but you better shape up because there's another round of threatenings coming here if you don't shape up by this date, you know. And I really find it...
difficult.
Not difficult. I find it insulting to the name of the Lord, to God would operate in such a manner. And so I find it difficult for someone. It all goes back to how he comes across. at the beginning. I mean, if he's saying, pray for me, I think maybe the Lord, but it was a bold saying, the Lord, mm-hmm. thus saith the Lord, it better come to pass. The Bible says that. It better come to pass. And when it doesn't come to pass, I can't receive it too well. When he says, well, it didn't come to pass because the Lord
is giving us
an extension. I just don't believe the Lord works that way.
Okay, you know that what precedence they have in that. They do have a precedence in the Bible.
Okay.
That Jonah was told within 3 days Nineveh will be destroyed. He went into Nineveh and he cried his heart out. I mean, the people were frightened. And they repented. And God put it off. The destruction of Nineveh never happened until 400 years after.
Okay.
Now, he was mad because God, he said God made him look like a fool. You see, he went in there and told them that it was going to be destroyed. And they repented, and then it wasn't destroyed. And God...
I have a thought.
But God was merciful. He sent them in with the warning that they would be, but they repented. God,
that's it. The message was an uplifting message. It said, even though I talked of destruction, it said, unless you repent. But many of these statements now that are coming across, it does not have...
Repent.
It just doesn't witness to me it being God. It's more like a statement to declare what shall come. And so you can know beforehand that it's me. By golly, it better happen then. I, that would be it. I believe that's part of an initial statement from John Jackson. I'm telling you these things so that when they come to pass, you might know it's me.
No, it is the Lord.
Well, if they don't come to pass, brother, you best go back and talk with the one who's speaking to you about that qualification he put on it. Why are you telling me these things? You said it so that I would know it's you. Mm-hmm. I remember that now. It comes to me that I heard that on that tape. That I'm telling you this so you'll know when it comes to pass, it's me.
Yeah. And well.
Did he say that he felt that it should be put to the body of Christ?
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so far, you couldn't judge it until 1984 passes.
I happen to have caught this statement, and Jesus said to me at the beginning, I think it's 1982, it's been quite a while, inflation shall go rampant. And as a matter of fact, it went down to zilch in 1983. And when you qualify, when you head it with, and Jesus told me inflation will begin to go rampant, I happen to remember that for some reason, that point. And when that time came around, inflation went down. As a matter of fact, last year, what was it, 5%? He's talking about the gold would go up to 400 or down to 400. And I just couldn't see.
That happened, and that still is.
But when it's a partial fulfillment, I have real difficulty. It reminds me of other prophecies.
Generalities and things.
And I don't know why we're talking about it, but that at least it's given me a chance to say a little bit.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things I wanted to talk to him about, and that's what he answered and said. That God has intervened because there has been quite a lot of people praying, and God has intervened.
I would like to ask you something in the same order, but it's coming from the scientific circles. A friend said to a friend that scientists have been looking with a very powerful what they call it, that something that has taken 3 years to polish so it would be so clear and so far-reaching. Anyhow, they have discovered, they've been looking into the black holes. Maybe you've heard, I don't read that much secular things, but this is what she found, was that they're seeing a gold square object coming, and they were predicting that, I don't know how many years, would take.
A thousand a year.
A thousand?
Is that what you heard?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So you've heard about it. What do you make of that thing?
Well, I'm like God. I heard, I was putting, you know, had a few minutes to wait before going out to service the other night, or going to bed, and I switched on PTL, and I saw a man on PTL, and the man said that geologists have been found a fault right up there in Mount Olivet or somewhere there where Jesus' feet is supposed to come. And he said if Jesus' feet ever touch there, that there's going to be an earthquake, and the fault run right exactly from this point to the other point where he said the mountain will open. And the fault is going to open because the scientists say that the slightest earthquake come there of point so much, it's going to open. And then he went on to say that they took this great telescope and looked into this black hole. Now, in a black hole, there can't be any light. I don't know if that sounds right, but you cannot have a light in the center of a black hole, because a black hole swallows up light when you put it into it. Mm-hmm. But this black hole had in it a square, just an object, a light. And I said, let's increase it, the power to by 1,000 or whatever, and they use a computer and they increase this power, and they saw that the thing was coming towards them, and it was a square star, and it is the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven with a black hole, and it's coming straight down here, and it's going to take within 1,000 years. The people were so excited that they never heard it. They started cheering from before he said within 1,000 years it will be here, but I heard him.
Do you remember when the planets were supposed to line up? When was that? Last year?
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Yes, sometime.
I think that we have to be careful about what we're... I know we have to be careful. The Lord has warned us about what we're listening to. And this is... I'm sharing what I felt when I heard about the Jupiter effect, and I saw... I felt before and after it passed, and... after I went to Rockford, where the Lord was really there to speak a word that's, and he has been speaking a word that is, it's a trumpet that has that sound. And my sheep know my voice, okay? And that we have to be careful about what we're listening to, every one of us, what we're listening to. And I felt this from God about what's going on when I see a Jupiter effect being spoken outward for people to be concerned about it, because when it happens it's going to be disaster. And when I heard the Jackson tapes and I heard of the disasters that were coming, the Lord telling us the disasters are coming, and they pinpointed them. Not that disasters aren't coming, they're coming, but I cannot find that trumpet in those sounds. I just can't personally.
Don't you think, Gordon, it is a kind of a God speaks something and Satan is trying to confuse the whole issue?
Well, that's what I want to read. This is a prophecy that came to, I think everyone in this room heard it when it was delivered. And it bore witness real strong with me. And this is the part of that prophecy. To me, these are marching orders that the Lord gave us. And I said that the other day again, but I believe the Lord just chosen to use that in some way, to use prophecy or a message from a ministry or just dreams or whatever. The Lord gives us marching orders about what we should do, what we should secure and hold down, and what we should hold fast to, and what we should turn away from, you know. And I can read the whole thing, it'd take a long time, but it's our marching orders. But and it's a scripture. I really don't look to this. It reflects the word that the Lord's brought and revealed to us from the scriptures. Mostly the book of Hebrews I see in this, but that every point in here is exactly our marching orders. I find it quickened over and over again what we need to be doing. And not need to be doing, but it's life to us. It's life to us how God gives us these points to us over and over again. It's the life that God's been giving us. The scripture, or the it says that the enemy does confuse the people. And the enemy does confuse them, and yea, they are confused on every hand. But look thou unto the Lord thy God, who is thy preserver, who has called thee unto a place in himself, that none other shall take but they to whom it has been given. See to it that thou dost not fear. See that thou dost not fear, saith the Lord thy God, but hearken unto the Lord thy God, unto that which the Lord thy God speaketh. And I thought of two things. I think of voices that are confusing the sons of God. And there's a trumpet that is sharp and clear, and I've heard the trumpet. And that's really because I have heard the trumpet or some trumpets, that when I hear something that's not a trumpet, I can't understand why anyone's listening to it that should be hearing trumpets. That's really what I think is part of what. And so we have to be careful to what we're listening to, is what I feel. And like, where is the source of our information? You know, you have to be careful, because it says it right here that confusion comes about. Well, I don't know even to go on any farther.
A trumpet is a message, right?
It's a message, but my sheep know my voice. I just believe that there being a calling on our lives. God right here, I believe, is saying to take heed to what you hear, you know, how you're listening.
Some of these here, I haven't heard it. Why don't you run on a little more of this here? I don't think I've heard that.
March 1982, Schuyler, Nebraska. For out of the bosom of the earth have I called the people, that they might proclaim the sovereignty of their God. Yea, with their lives they shall proclaim. Yea, they shall come forth as a burning and a shining light, and not shall quench their burning, and not shall dim their light. For they shall be preserved with the determination of their Father. Many of these things have meant so much to me, to know that we will be preserved by his determination.
We came from the bosom of the earth, out of the ground.
For yea, they shall be an appointed people, yea, they are a called out people, and they shall proclaim the name of their God without fear and without faltering. For yea, the Lord thy God doth anoint a people who shall not turn back, but who shall press the battle to the death. Rise ye up, therefore, my people. Be not conformed with the ways of the world, but be thou transformed with the renewing of thy mind. For yea, thou shalt not ascend unless thy mind be renewed. But if thou art careful and troubled by the affairs of this life, thy mind shall be pulled down unto the earth, into the darkness, and thou shalt not behold the work of thy Father in this day. For yea, the enemy does confuse the people, and the enemy does confuse them, and yea, they are confused on every hand. I find responsibility myself personally as I hear this. I just find a responsibility there to watch myself about what I'm listening to. But look thou unto the Lord thy God, who is thy preserver, who has called thee unto a place in himself, that no other shall take but they to whom it has been given. See that thou dost not fear. See that thou dost not fear, saith the Lord thy God. And the Jupiter effect, the only benefit it could give is fear, I think, almost the way it was given. See that saith the Lord thy God. But hearken unto the Lord thy God, unto that which the Lord thy God speaketh unto that people for this hour, for that purpose for which he has called him. For yea, thou shalt be a peculiar people. Thou art not called unto the place where thou shalt do the things that thine own heart and thy own mind doth dictate unto thee. But yea, thou art called unto the place where only the mind of Christ can lead thee into that perfection, into that place in that battle, where thou shalt have the victory, where thou shalt proclaim his name, where thou shalt proclaim his priesthood, where thou shalt proclaim his royalty in the earth. Yea, the Lord doth wait upon that people. And if thou shalt arise, and if thou shalt lay hold of the promises of the Lord thy God, thou shalt attain. But the Lord thy God doth have no pleasure in them that draw back. O alleluia, alleluia. Draw thou not back, draw thou not back. Be not afraid, saith the Lord thy God, for greater is he that is with thee than those that are against thee. For yea, the Lord doth have no pleasure in those that fear and those that falter. Yea, the Lord thy God doth have no pleasure in them. And they have no place in that rank of believers that shall press on and claim that which the Lord thy God has declared for them. Therefore arise, arise, shod thy feet, put on the whole armor, for yea, thou art in turbulous weather. Thou shalt be shaken, yes, but only those things that can fall apart will fall apart. But those things that cannot be shaken shall remain, saith the Lord thy God. See to it that thy feet are firm upon this rock, that thou shalt neither in thy shaking be removed or be taken out of the way. For the Lord thy God moveth forth, for his army is strong in the earth, and shall accomplish that for which he has called them, that for which he has molded them, that for which he has waited, in tender planting and nurturing, that it might bring forth his glory in the earth.
These were spoken at Schuyler sometime or another.
Mm-hmm. I believe we were all there. There's a prophecy given by Mavis in March 1982.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. We had it on the tape, huh?
No, well, I'm not sure. I think it was before the message.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the tape.
I have it on tape, though.
One time you said, Gordon, that people who hear all this stuff about the Jupiter effect, it must produce fear. Or
no.
What do you say? That it can't help it?
I felt the ministry of that word, which I've heard over the TV, like on PTL or something. I felt the ministry was going to, if the sons of God did not have discernment, I mean, those who have a calling, I mean, that's something can be eaten by several people and affect them differently. Mm-hmm. I felt we shouldn't eat that one.
But
we should store it and look at it and see what God's saying. Why did I hear that? You know, what do I need to know about that, Lord? But I felt a tone in there that said it wasn't a good thing to eat.
But remember too that the scripture says that one of the signs of the end time will be men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after the things that are coming to pass on the earth. For he said, the very powers of the heavens shall be shaken. So it means that he's going to fear them and shake us too. And God said, but don't be afraid.
I think